Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
He's their only starter that throws hard.
You Darvish?
If he's expected to sit 95-96, that's it. They have the third slowest throwing rotation in MLB.
There are, in the rotation, a lot of guys on the wrong side of an aging curve.
Oh, no, we know why.
Baseball Prospectus trusts their aging curves. More often, they're right. The expectation is when the Cubs' rotation goes 180 innings for each guy, you know, that sort of longevity and that kind of consistency will just outweigh the projections, and they'll be fine. They'll be a playoff team.
That's
the expectation.
On. That's what they're betting on. But if Yu Darvish has a representative Yu Darvish season and they actually are getting what they were paying for a year ago, it's going to buck a lot of projections.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We'll have a conversation with Pete Futek, our guy, at 10:40. Midday Midway is yours at 11. We'll talk to Sam Vecenie about Bulls and NBA stuff at 11:40. And then at any point after noon, we expect important people from the Cubs to be speaking as spring training begins in Mesa. And we will carry their comments and the press conference, however casual or formal it may be, somewhere in between. Usually we will have that live for you on these airwaves. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR, The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext, you may. 67011 is where you send that. And you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I'm at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Happy Pitchers and Catchers Day.
Then you stream the Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook. All you have to do is like the 670 The Score page. You can see us on the video feed at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. Brian Gertsch directs that. The producers are Jay Zawoski.
Cutler got hurt late in the first half. They brought in Todd Collins. That was a Mike Martz move, and a bad one at that. Todd Collins was brutal. It was three and out, three and out, three and out, and then Lovie Smith stepped in and said, no more. And they ended up going to Todd Haney.
What?
Just all Todds.
It's Todd Collins Haney. And then Todd Haney?
And then Todd Haney, that's right.
Okay. I guess that'll work. Rick Camp's on the board.
If you don't produce, you're not going to play.
Well, Lally hit 300, McNeil hit 329.
Again, it's not. It doesn't matter, Bobby. It doesn't matter what they hit. It's what they hit.
Huh?
What?
It doesn't matter what they hit. It's what they hit.
I bet he was going for the don't tell me what you hit. Tell me when you hit it.
Oh, okay.
I bet that's where the Pope was headed.
In the back, doing what he does, the executioner, Ray Diaz.
Rebound taken down by Hill. Hill hands that to Jacopo. Oh,
wow.
Everybody.
You've seen that all year long.
Lowry was like, he didn't have time to blink.
Oh, wow.
Where'd who go?
Oh, yes, that guy.
That guy did it twice and on the defensive end.
Yeah.
That was something. Although, that was a pretty entertaining game from the Bulls' perspective. Look, played well.
If they can get the ball off the backboard and go and just let whoever has it, you don't have to find the point guard.
I kind of liked Zach working some point.
It's fine. Look, if you have the ball and you have an advantage and you want to turn and go.
I thought he and Markkanen worked well. Still don't know what Chris Dunn is really doing.
No.
Hope he's okay.
He says he hurt his butt bone.
Yes, he did.
I think it means he broke his coccyx. So I hope he's okay. That does hurt.
It looked brutal.
It happened.
Came right down on the thing. Knocked your wind out. That's one of those feelings you can feel now if you've ever done it before.
Oh, I did it in July. I was racing down a ridge.
Drag racing?
No, I had my fishing rod in one hand.
Right.
And I literally saw a largemouth bass.
Like extreme fishing,
yeah,
right?
I saw. No, this was just my kid was on the other side of the ridge water skiing, but he was waiting his turn to water ski.
Uh-huh.
The parents' weekend at camp. So I figured while I'm waiting for him, I'm going to go catch fish because they're jumping. And I see a bass just sitting underneath a lily pad. I'm like, ooh, I got you.
It is caught!
No, it was a bass.
It was a bass.
And I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna come down real quiet. I'm gonna drop the beetle spin about 10 feet and just bring this thing right back in front of his face because they were hitting too, and they were feeding, like they were going after baits. Okay. So, of course, I don't take into account the pine needles underneath my feet, and both heels hit pine straw, absolutely straight up in the air. I'm not gonna drop my fishing rod. And I kind of put my left hand down and just hit right on a tree root.
It's just how they teach you in basic. Don't lose that fishing rod.
Took 6 weeks to feel better. Six weeks.
That's that pain that swells up from your butt bone and yeah. Like your throat is
was,
all.
Like it hurt so much. Like everything turned gray.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, I thought I might have broken it, but it doesn't matter if you break it. You don't do anything anyway.
There's no cast right. You can put on that.
Right. You're going to do that whole
There's
thing.
There's nothing and, you could do. Yeah. Put yourself in traction for two
yeah,
months.
That's no fun. All right. So let's just be completely honest here.
You want to do some
Kareem
stuff
Hunt.
Here? Yeah. You do some therapy.
Got to get into this because when I saw Kareem Hunt signed with the Browns very near, right near the end of our show yesterday.
Yeah. It was right during transition.
Part of me was relieved. Part of me said, okay, we don't have that to deal with. And there's two levels here. There's professional talk show host.
Yes.
And there's Meatball Bears fan.
Uh-huh.
And they're all operating, they're commingling, and they're also operating on different mental channels here.
Who's winning that fight right now? Because now that you've had, 12 hours, 18 hours?
But there's duality and conflict on both channels. Because, the guy's a scumbag. And he gets drunk and he punches people. Men, women, whatever. He's not a domestic assailant.
No.
This is not one of these, this pathological Addison Russell kind of thing where they're just
not in the same way,
no,
but let's not.
He's a garden variety, get drunk and violent guy.
I don't think you're qualified to make that claim about whether he's
I'm just saying, based on his behaviors.
Sure.
He goes to bars, he gets drunk and he punches people when he's mad at them or he kicks them.
Yes, that's on video.
Yeah, whatever.
Sometimes he punches them, goes away, and then comes back and kicks them.
And he's an NFL player, and the team that you're rooting for in the NFL has violent people on it. So,
any team.
I love the content. Were he to have come to the Bears, all the discussion, all the angst, all the perfectly reasonable and unreasonable discussion to be had is great for sports radio content for a while. Whatever he does, he would be electrifying. He would be a lightning rod on the field and off.
There's a handful of reasons the Bears should not have signed him, and I'll tell you exactly what those are.
And I agree with that, too. But that's just dealing with sort of looking at it from a content perspective. From a Meatball Bears fan perspective, he's exactly what they need. He's literally exactly what they need.
I think we're all appalled by it. It is an egregious act. We all understand that. But after doing our research, extensive research, analyzing the situation, we came to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm willing to help a man on a second chance moving forward to be a better person. And that's all you can ask for in society, and that's all I'm trying to do.
Well, it's not all you're trying to do.
No, you also want to win football games as well.
Right. You're kind of...
That is your job.
The more important thing that you're trying to do is you're trying to have him hold a football and run in a certain direction without falling down.
Or catch one.
Until he reaches a certain place.
Score touchdowns. Right. Yeah, that's all part and parcel of it. I have a couple of issues with the Browns signing Kareem Hunt at this point. I would have had these same issues had the Bears signed him. I don't need Kareem Hunt on the Bears. I didn't need him to make this next season interesting for me. Sure, he would have made the offense better. I think that the Meatball Bears reaction to this, it's clear. It's obvious. That would have been better. He was last year's league-leading rusher. Mm-hmm. Not this last season, but the one before that.
He knows the name of every play.
Runs Matt Nagy's offense.
Yep.
The Bears had a running back issue that would have been probably filled out well by Kareem Hunt. I get that. That math is pretty easy to do. The NFL hasn't concluded its investigation into the three separate allegations of violence that Kareem Hunt has been accused of. Let me say that again. Three separate, And the NFL hasn't concluded their investigation into it. And yet one of the franchises, the one that's probably made the biggest bounce back in terms of public perception as could be possible. The Browns are a laughingstock. And up until 10, 12 weeks ago, were still a laughingstock. They were on Hard Knocks, an NFL franchise, a television show created to ostensibly make a franchise look as good as they possibly can. They failed at that on the television show. Their 5 weeks of programming.
Coaches fighting with each
other.
They
looked like a boob. And there you are on the marquee of the NFL. That team chose to go out and sign an embattled running back, a guy with all sorts of offseason problems before the NFL itself as an organization. Not that I trust their investigation, all that, to do the right thing either. But they signed him before that was done. Secondly, though, you know, we read the statement that John Dorsey's statement that we read yesterday during transition that came out, correct? It wasn't the Cleveland Browns I guess they're one and the same. And while it read pretty well in terms of how these statements come out and in terms of how teams respond when they've made a decision like this that is somewhat unpopular in signing a player that's got violence issues, whether domestic or not, they didn't talk to the victim in doing their extensive research. And while I don't necessarily think that Kareem Hunt shouldn't be able to work in the NFL again, he should, I feel like the steps that need to be taken are fairly clear and somewhat obvious to both the league and the organization that goes and signs them. So when, you know, these boxes are left unchecked, you just kind of, you're like Travolta. You're looking around like, guys, this was... Some of this is fairly obvious.
Talking about the Vincent Vega meme?
Yeah, the Vincent, just kind of looking around back and forth, or like B-Mac when he walks into the Cubs convention and sees Schwarber and just kind of walks away. Like, this is obvious.
Yeah, the B-Mac Punxsutawney Phil moment.
This was, guys, everybody can see this. Just do the things that people are asking you to do, that the community, that the professionals who treat those and help the rehab of those who are engaged in violence, domestic or otherwise, go through. Like, these are not difficult steps to take. So when some of them are left undone, I sit and wonder, and I think it's a fair thing to do. I won't tell you that a franchise can't sign a player like this. I won't tell you that the player doesn't deserve to go work again in the NFL under circumstances like this. All I'm asking is for the T's to be crossed and the lowercase J's to be dotted. You understand? Like, that's the ask here. That's all. That's what I need. And in not doing so, I think you've created more and more flack that will likely go away because the NFL just does, because the news cycle turns and will forget that Kareem Hunt is, assuming he has he is rehabbed, that he works to settle his issues, to settle his own personal issues, and to settle with those who he may have actually hurt.
Maybe he really wants to.
Maybe he does.
We don't know.
Maybe he does. And that's almost a separate issue. You know, because if he wants to, that's great. If he's genuinely interested and invested in his own rehabilitation, that's perfect. But that's between him and his life and that organization. I can't, from the outside, help him one way or another.
This segment's brought to you by Subway. Order a sub directly from your sofa. Subway now delivers your favorite sub, salad, or signature wrap straight to your door. Go to subway.com/delivers to order with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available in selected areas. See subway.com/delivers for details. It is, I think the Browns in their statements did about as well as you could do trying to anticipate some of what the responses would be. I think they inoculated against plenty of criticism. I think they looked at the way the Cubs handled their statements regarding Addison Russell. And we're going to hear more about that today, too, as well. Addison Russell's going to be at spring training, correct?
Yeah, that's the understanding. I thought the Browns, in their statement, one of the things I thought they did well was mention that they had talked to professionals, you know, in that field, in that rehabilitation field, in that, I guess it would be... psychological help. They talked to professionals who help those engaged in violence, who are engaged in violence, getting back to being a contributing member of society, fixing their own issues. Mm-hmm. That's a big step in the right direction for me from a team, because I am so, so over the personal endorsements from coaches, I know this man. I know he's repented. It's like Jay Hobson at Southern Miss telling you that Art Briles seems sincere when he says he's sorry about what happened, and none of it was really his fault, and he's a God-fearing man, and everything's fine.
And then we know that Jay Hobson has gone out of his way to seek out other sexual assailants.
That's just
to
such,
work for him.
It's such nonsense to take the endorsement of a football coach or general manager only and on its face value when determining whether or not that player ought to be signed or has fixed his issues or wants to. That's just, it's pretty clear that that's the step in the wrong direction.
At least we've moved past that in sports, right?
We've started to.
Right?
I wouldn't say there won't be backsliding. That happens. I mean, that's an ingrained part of the culture. That's an ingrained part of where we're at in terms of a society dealing with violence.
Yeah, professional Big Four teams, though.
We're not great at it.
I mean, I understand Southern Miss. That's something that until you disinfect it by shining sunlight on it, that you're still going to have infections at a place like Southern Mississippi. That I get.
Probably, but even then, the expectation should be higher because you're bringing in someone of such a, I know we're kind of mixing the things around here, but someone of that kind of profile. Art Briles.
I know, but it's Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yes, but it's not just.
It's another planet.
It's not a JUCO kid who took something out of a. Out of a big box store.
Right, I know
it's
what you mean.
Freaking Briles.
But I do think that large professional organizations were starting to have an accepted best practices.
There are better blueprints.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Better.
There are better
the structures
blueprints.
A little better.
Yeah.
So
and accountability seems to be there as well. I think the other thing that needs to happen, whether the Browns or anybody else signs Kareem Hunt, John Dorsey said there is a zero tolerance policy, mm-hmm. right? That there is no mistakes from here on out. It better be true, right? That's the other thing that he has to hold up on his end of the bargain. That's got to be true. See if that happens.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. What do you think? 312-644-6767. We are WSCR The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
What he has done is he has sought professional counseling with regards moving forward in anything like this situation. Once he understands his situation, he is now working towards being a better man moving forward. By no means, from an organizational standpoint, is this a guarantee of anything. As we all know, you know, trust has to be earned, and that has to be earned with the Cleveland Browns organization and the community of Cleveland moving forward. So this will be a day-to-day thing in terms of earning trust.
They're laying it down for him. They're making sure that they're not welcoming him with open arms. That was the term I want to say that Allen Robinson used. This isn't a welcome with open arms. This is a delicate and carefully staged welcome that is as conditional as could possibly be. So they've got to be, you know, they are on the record. If there is a slip up, if he gets drunk and punches somebody again, he's going to be done. There probably won't be a third chance.
Well, if he just punches anyone in any capacity, right? He doesn't have to get drunk before doing it.
No, it usually seems to.
Any
to,
of the punching would
to
be,
help him decide to do it, though.
Or the kicking would be bad. Any of those kind of behaviors, not so great. I'm not so naive as to not understand that guys have backgrounds and guys brought up in places that I wasn't brought up in that I haven't faced. I think it's pretty clear that Kareem Hunt's history is a tough one. But if the NFL had a policy where instead of shifting the goalposts around on whether it's domestic violence, assault, sexual violence, any of this stuff, if they had an actual policy, a no tolerance, a time where you had to sit out, like an actual, okay, show me a year where you don't have these types of behaviors again, and then it goes on. They would be well within their rights to do so. They're a private entity. They can set those kind of expectations. And instead, at least in my history, dealing with since the Ray Rice situation, since the Ray Rice video came out with the Ravens, they have moved the goalposts around throughout all of their suspensions, throughout all of the issues that have popped up here. And that, as much as anything else, leads us to having to deal with our own, you know, separate channels of meatball and talk show host and NFL viewer and, you know, somebody who wants accountability to those who
perpetrate violence on others.
And how about the realism of the football fan is that football is a violent game often played by violent people who pursue the game for certain reasons and are part of the system that develops a certain level of violence.
But it's not impossible to watch violent people play football who keep the violence between the lines.
Of course not.
But it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but there also is an awareness of having been a fan for how old am I? Almost 50, an active fan for 45 years, mm-hmm. and knowing that every team that I've rooted for has had some really bad eggs out there. Knowing it, just trying to square the reality of it while not feeling horrible about the reality of it.
Yeah, I understand that, and I think, you know, I don't mean to say that the NFL, certainly as it's run now and administrated now, should be any kind of shining light or beacon in a society that already has trouble dealing with violence, dealing with how to come to grips with violence, how to rehab it, how to treat those who have both been victims and perpetrators of violence, domestic and otherwise. You know, it's a societal issue that the NFL is just kind of this weird vestigial tail of, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of wags around in the nothing and has no idea what it's doing really.
West Side, this is Andre. He's on the Score.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Andre?
I'm going to put this out here. I am not a fan of abuse, but I always feel that there is two sides to every story. And I feel like the NFL always portrays just the side of the star or the athlete being the bad guy, but we never get deeper into the stories.
We now, saw the video.
Say it again? Yes, it's on video.
It's video.
It's just like saying, I do understand that, but understand this, that I can be into a situation with anyone and somebody can pull out their video at the wrong time.
Wait, did you watch? What do you mean the wrong time? Did you watch the video?
Yes, I did watch the video.
So then when he goes back to kick her while she's on the ground.
I never said that I wasn't there, but what I'm saying is there more to the story? That's my main concern. Is there more to the story? I'm not saying that
that's your main concern, is looking for exculpatory evidence?
Because, I mean, there has been a lot of people who have been pushed over the edge over things that, let's be real, people push you over the edge, especially knowing that you're an athlete. Your life is on the line every day being an athlete.
What?
I don't know, man.
Your life is on the line every day being an athlete? What does that even mean?
What does that mean? Okay. There have been a lot of athletes whose name have been falsely accused. Now I'm not saying
we have the video,
but there are more. Is there not two sides to every story, sir?
What side are you talking? Why are you searching for exculpatory evidence of some kind here? I don't understand what your life is on the line every day as an athlete. What does that mean?
What is it? Does it not make sense?
No, not for a second.
Okay. I guess maybe I don't make sense. Maybe to you guys, but you just said Kareem came from a bad lifestyle. So if he came from a bad lifestyle, this is nothing new, correct?
He's still got to, you know, obey the laws of the land and not hit people.
There's laws that apply to him. He's not.
You don't get to, like, them's are fighting words. That's not a thing. Like, you don't get to punch people because because something got said to you.
But do we know if she put her hands on him before then or no? It's just off what we have on
video. He's clearly not defending himself. I mean, have you seen the video? I keep asking this. He's not acting in self-defense. It doesn't sound like you have.
Oh, hold on, wait. So if you hit me and I walk away and then you keep following me, even though I know it happened in the lobby, but if it happened and I happen to walk away and somebody sees it and say, oh, let me pull out my camera and take a video.
Andre, I understand where you're going with this.
I don't know what world you live in.
But
I live in a world of America where shit happens.
Oh, you can't say that.
That's
not
a word
you can't say that on the radio. No, to normal people, you can go through your life without feeling like you have to assault somebody. I don't know, these opportunities to assault people are being brought to him.
There are words that get said that push people over the edge. There are
three separate incidents that all of this stuff was sort of brought to him and done to him.
That's where the Kareem Hunt situation kind of stands differently. It's three different allegations of violence
that the NFL has not finished investigating any single one of them. I just don't. The athletes as victims, while I understand that can happen and people are out to grab your money or take your, you know, whatever, it's just pretty clear in watching the video that this isn't some setup. You know, that this isn't some bait that got tossed out to Kareem Hunt in the lobby of a hotel. It's very hard to watch that and come up with the bait reasoning.
This text is from the 219 who says, "You've never been pushed over the edge by someone." I don't understand this. You have a responsibility, this whole pushed over the edge thing. You're not allowed to punch people.
No, it might be. Listen, you can understand why somebody would punch someone after getting thrown over the edge. It's still illegal to do it. And you can sit there in court and say, well, these words were said to me, and in from my world, you're not allowed to say that, and I won't stand for that, and that's fine.
Okay,
you can make that stand.
There are consequences.
There are consequences to those actions.
Okay.
And he needs to be held to those consequences. Furthermore, there's a conduct policy in the NFL that goes along with his contract. And the Chiefs were willing for at least a little while to understand that these incidents happen and keep him around, but then he went and lied to the Chiefs about what happened, when it happened, and why it happened, apparently. That got him cut from the team. All of those decisions and actions had consequences for Kareem Hunt, and he's dealing with them right now. He's suffering the consequences.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are going to be hearing from the people who run the Cubs, not the ownership level, but the management level. They will be talking today. We don't know exactly in what order, how many, or when, but on day one, traditionally, we get Theo, maybe Jed, maybe Joe. We're going to carry it all live in the noon hour. What do you want to hear? What do you need to hear? What do you want to hear? What do we expect? Where are we going to be on this idea of balancing the realities of baseball and a six-month season with a desire for intensity? How do we square that? How do we get to have both, and how does Theo lay that out today in a way that might be different from the Cub convention? Because this is real now. There's cracks of bats.
Mitts popping,
and it changes the way they approach some of these things.
Yeah, so. And very much, it's a follow-up to the 71 minutes that ended this season. We'll get to that next. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.